Greek solidarity bringing team listener, when the source of all that is good in our society, the private sector, was forced to defend itself against anti-business class politicians. Something I'm sure we've all noticed and said to ourselves, oh, don't our hearts bleed for the way poor caring employers, caring businesses treated by uncaring government. Yes, worst farmer supremo Michael Chaney up the workers. So frustrated he mused, profit seems to be a dirty word. And at least we could assure poor Michael he would never hear such calumny on the week that was. After all, worst farmers make an invaluable contribution to this country. Office wax value, Kmart value, hardware giant Burnings value, plus resource and industrial contributions. Expecting nothing more in return for this patriotic fervour than, say, its 77 billion real figure market capitalisation and a small return, as little as several hundred percent, on that investment. Politicians should acknowledge how vital businesses like worst farmers are to the nation's prosperity, Michael bemoaned. And let's face it, if they so love their workers, they treat them not as workers, but as team members, see all equal. With, as the saying goes, some like, say, Michael, a little more equal than others. They should be celebrating the success of companies that have done well and acknowledge our enormous contributions to the true blue Aussie economy and society. Hear, hear, we couldn't have said it better, Michael. The attacks hurting the poor caring business class we all share and complain about, like tied up in red tape and worse, tied up in green tape. These environment laws that slow down what everyone knows is going to proceed anyway. Let's just get on with the job. Terra nullius non-land, non-people heritage laws slowing down what everyone knows is going to proceed anyway. And most draconian of all, industrial relations laws interfering with the win-win relationship caring employers seek with their lazy, avaricious workforce, caving into and giving far too much power to evil unions, especially when caring employers know there is no such thing as class struggle. And again, I'm sure we've all noticed how evil unions are now running this country. Take poor junk food giant Grilled the workers, forced to create an inspired wage deal using a loophole to pay its workers below the industry award rates. That's those crippling hospitality industry award rates. And worse, now poor Grilled the workers is being taken to court by its workers. Well, its team members who want to pay those crippling rates. We can't understand why caring employers are so upset. Not just government, politicians, but goody-goody groups who should know better are also making life a misery for those who do so much for our economy and society. This week, the annual Ethical Fashion Report reckons almost all True Blue Aussie fashion brands fail to pay garment workers a living wage. No sick or other pay and a high risk of sexual harassment, using one Bangladeshi worker, Hasina, who reckons she was told to lie during audits about working overtime without pay. And the goody-goodies believed her, as if a sweatshop owner would lie. I think our fashion label should be commended for so caring about Bangladeshi workers they are prepared to provide them with work. Cup Week. And the last one is lining up for the prestigious Upgrade Stakes. They're ready. Last one in racing. And Albie Uzi got a great start and Penny Left Wing is going with him. Mauls the Bad Guys is right up there on the outside. And Macon MZ, whose last big win was in the Sports Rorts Cup, is moving up very stylishly. Duffer is also prominent. Band is pushing up on the inside. Oh, and Bowen to Capital and Chalmers Capital. And now Barnacle and Tailings are all storming home. Oh, they've hit the line. I can't pick it. I reckon it's a dead heat between the entire field. Duffer's jockey, Gina Hardheart, was getting everything out of her mouth. I don't think the judge will be able to split them. Here's Albing Uzi coming. coming back to scale. You're happy supporting business class, Anthony? Very happy. We all support business class. But aren't you a socialist? Certainly. I have devoted my life to those doing it tough. You mightn't be aware, but I was raised in public housing by a single mum. Well, what an exciting race, although Duffer and McCon MZ reckon Albing Uzi should lodge a protest with the anti-corruption stewards against himself. To be fair, he doesn't seem to be too enthusiastic about the idea. A further problem is there's been a protest upheld against the chief steward for dismissing a protest. A far less important matter than moving from the back to the front of a plane involving nothing more serious than destroying thousands of people's lives. Yet lots of long-haired commie greenie wooden worker and iron lots expressed surprise when it was dismissed, the chief steward saying there was nothing to investigate. Well, nothing we didn't already know, like thousands of people's lives had been destroyed, for which no one was responsible. Suggestions the chief steward, a former senior train killer and senior beak, had a conflict of interest over another former train killer against whom the protest had been lodged. He also refused to name the people being investigated, named in the report about the robo-debt destruction of people's lives, although it's not all that difficult to work out who a few of them just might be. So the protest has been reopened, minus the ex-train killer chief steward, but not minus his close friend, the other ex-train killer. Oh, but the conflict of interest report said he did nothing wrong. Isn't he lucky his name isn't CFMEU? The same chief steward, ex-beak of course, also held an inquiry finding Troublewazi trained killers had committed war crimes in Afghanistan, but thankfully, all this time later, they haven't warranted anything as irresponsible as anyone being charged. No relation to the above, but suggestions the former Minister for Robo-Debt, Stuart Robo-Hertz, has been taking advantages in his post-parliament business life from decisions he took in his ministerial parliament life, along with a few cronies, business associates, investors, as if Stuart, of all people, would do anything wrong. Caring business class party supremo and would-be big supremo Constable Peter Duffer's jockey in that exciting upgrade stakes, Gina Hartart, has pocketed a mere $2.8 billion this year from a Roy held to the environment Pilbara mining subsidiary. But she deserves every penny, or well, every cent, because she's run an ad showing a half dozen happy, happy, happy terra nullius, non-land, non-people, smiling youngsters announcing that Roy Held Two so cares about them, it is providing fresh produce to local communities. What a kind, considerable person, that Gina. Unfortunately, another responsible resource giant, Santosos the Prophets, is facing a few problems in a matter brought by the Troublewazi Centre for Corporate Responsibility. We would have thought a body devoted to corporate responsibility faces an uphill, if not impossible, battle. Anyway, case essentially claiming Santosos's stated path to net zero is a load of crap, with no modelling or detail, but Santosos's very, very expensive silk told the federal court, the document is a long-term strategy plan and cannot be expected to include detailed modelling. How long-term? Well, as long-term as it takes them to get away with it. Worse, the silk said goody-goody long-haired commie greeny activists, in the context of the caring business class, activist is a serious pejorative. Activist demands deter the great resource behemoths from even attempting to decarbonise. See? Self-defeating. He didn't quite explain how, but in the interests of the environment, obviously best leave them alone so they can feel much more relaxed about not attempting to decarbonise. Santosos is certainly making some strong arguments. The US of the UN UN, of the US, of the world, and therefore true Blavozzi, again expressed their concern at the massive levels of slaughter and destruction and genocide of innocents, again failing to inform us what is an acceptable level of slaughter and destruction and genocide. And must say, we might take the USOV's seeming concern a bit more seriously if it stopped funding and arming the slaughter and destruction and genocide it tut-tuts about. And after we hand and keep handing trillions to the USOV and His Most Gracious Majesty home country's nuclear sub-training killing machines as they focus, rather than wasting it here on discretionary spending like public housing and public transport and public health and public education and, say, allowing doll budgets to have a life, even more exciting, sensible spending as Merchants of Death Minister Pat Conraygun announced a new facility to churn out 4,000 train killer missiles a year. And here's the really, really good news. In partnership with USOV Merchant of Death, Lucky He'd Mort Them. Lucky because true Blavozzi puts up the money, 316 mil, and lucky Lockheed has the difficult task of scooping up the profits. Don't our governments drive hard bargains? Oh, and Pat is, they tell us, on the left. Despite this river of government largesse, train-killing experts, not sure how one becomes a train-killing expert, but I think opposing train-killing doesn't qualify. Experts say the factory will be up and running too late if evil China invades Taiwan before we're churning out the missiles. Well, yes, that's pure logic, but an assumption in itself. An assumption that somehow we therefore have to become involved. Why? Silly me, because the USOV would order us to. To the USOV, the misnomer of the week award, could even be of the century, is calling that Donald Trump, or the poor warm-up bloke, or sorry, guy, a comedian. He was half right. His so-called jokes are garbage. Finally, as the USOV battle of big ideas reaches its denouement, the fact that we want the other one to win simply shows just how disastrous is Donald Trample the Poor, and that roughly half of our very, very close friend the USOV want that disaster is also a disaster. Good morning.